We're going to be looking at Exodus this morning and chapter 19. And we've been progressing through the book of Exodus together in our study. But as we move forward today and for a few Sundays to come, we may be camping out a little bit in Exodus 19 and 20 because it's there that the people meet God and hear from God, from himself. And when God speaks, we need to pay attention. And I think it's important that we take the time to really dive into everything that God says. You can imagine that God had spoken to the people, they had heard about God, and in times to come, they would hear from God through priests and prophets and many things. But as God spoke to them, you can imagine the very things that he spoke, how important that is, and what it was he was telling them. And so we're going to grab a hold of everything that God has for us in those. But as we've been looking at Exodus so far, we've been looking at a people who are on a journey, and we know that that journey was in part leading them out of slavery and into freedom as a new people. But as we progress, we keep saying the words, God was leading them out in order to bring them in. But all so far that we have seen is a group of people led out and on into a journey in a desert. And they have suffered thirst and hunger, and they have grumbled and they have complained. And yet, as we've noted, by God's mercy, he's carried them on, he's moved them forward, and he's brought them to where he wants them to be. And now, God is going to speak to them face to face in person, and they're going to begin to see a little bit more of the purpose. And this morning, as we kind of dive into the word, I was reminded of times in which I've gone somewhere, and the reason I went didn't actually really become the reason why I was there. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I had gone for a purpose, and yet when I got there, I realized the purpose I went wasn't the purpose in which I was actually there for. Especially in days like this, our farm, one of our greatest assets is stuff we have, and we're able to kind of swap that around with some others who are in need. Not too long ago, I went down to a dock and picked up a great big halibut that someone had caught. And we, as much as we grow chicken and beef, and it's incredible, the more we eat it, the more we start to crave other things. And, you know, we're really tired of this. And it's gotten to the point where when you grow your own beef, it's almost a little, people would call it sacrilegious, because we've had steaks so often, because sometimes people don't want to buy the more expensive cuts of meat. We'll get to the point where we're ready to grind up prime rib steaks into ground beef, because we'd rather have tacos than another steak, because it just, it's become so old and too overdone for us. And so we'll get to a point where you talk to a fisherman and say, hey, any chance you'd want some beef for some fish? And they'll look at you and go, oh man, as much as I love a pescatarian diet, I would love some beef anytime. Let's trade. And it's this great thing where we have something that they would love and they have something we would love. One of those things was we actually had some, we keep all of our beef and pork fat, and it's actually become one of our most valuable things because people have loved to render their own fat into lard. And in the health food side of things, before it was always low fat, low fat, low fat, and now the health food craze has gone over to good fat, good fat, good fat. And so it's omega-3s and all those many things. And so at times we've had more than we can have or use or sell. And there's a local bakery, and we've offered to say, hey, listen, we'll give you the remainder of our pork fat so you can make your own lard for your baking. And they'll say, we would love that, and why don't we give you some baking? And so I'll never forget one day we went down to drop off bags of pork fat, which might seem bizarre, but there it is, and we're dropping them off. and I'm there to get pastries, and I'm looking forward to some of these renowned pastries in the area. And yet we get there and we get into a conversation, and here's a woman we've known of and known about, but never gotten to know personally. And as we go to retrieve our pastries, we get into a conversation and we begin to hear about a woman who's on a journey. And I think I've told you a little bit before when it happened, but we hear about a woman who is at the end of her rope, ready to commit suicide in her younger years. And she had driven out to the desert, and I can't remember what she was planning or preparing, but God met her, and God said, "Stop. I've got you. I don't do this. I've got a purpose for you, and I'm here for you." And in that moment, we realized, hey, I came for the pastries. I came for the trade. What we ended up leaving with: incredible fellowship, being encouraged in God's ability to work in people's lives, meeting believers that were hiding in the boonies in Whiskey Creek that we didn't even know existed. I mean, we left so encouraged and realized, though we had gone for the pastries, we had actually, the real reason we were there was for fellowship and growth and in seeing God's work in our community that we didn't even know was there. And we find often in life, we have to be continually realigning ourselves with the purpose of God. We have to continually being looking to the Lord and seeing not just where I am, but what God has me there for. And this morning, as we open the Word and we keep talking about God leading the people out in order to lead them in, we're making a transition here where we're going to begin to see what is he leading them into? Because we've talked a lot about leading out, and they were getting out of slavery and getting out of all of these things, and they were going to come into freedom, but there was so much more. And as God speaks in Exodus 9, he's going to begin to tell them that though they may have came, and I wonder how often we start the journey and our motives aren't the real reason why we're there. What brought us there isn't actually why God brought us there. And let me explain. The disciples were sitting around Jesus, and it was even days, if not hours, before his crucifixion, and they're still arguing, "Lord, can I be at your right hand and can I be at your left?" They still were there for a political victory to overthrow the Romans and to rise up and to be something or somebody or part of a kingdom. And they were all there for something, but it wasn't actually what God had them there for. And they were going to have to very quickly, as they would see the road that Jesus was now going to walk, realign themselves with the purpose of God and what God was actually doing, why it was he had brought them there. And so this morning I'm going to read in Exodus and chapter 19, and I'll read the first 9 verses or so, and then we'll grab a hold of what God has for us this morning. It says this: "In the 3rd month, after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples. All the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do.' And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe in you forever." And Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Now, as we look at those words in Exodus 19, we see that the people had come, and I want to look back all the way to Exodus chapter 3. If you remember Moses and that burning bush, in which he came and God spoke, and for time's sake, we won't turn there, but I'll remind you, God said, "Listen, I see the affliction of my people. I want to free them. I want to lead them out, and I want to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey." It tells us that after all the things that we've looked at together, that Moses, when he went to the people, spoke all these words to the people. And you can imagine, in the depths of slavery, in the depths of hardship, in the depths of suffering, that the word comes that not only does God see your problem, see your suffering, but he's preparing to lead you to a land of milk and honey. And this morning, if there's any encouragement, it's this, that if we've come out on this journey looking for the land of milk and honey, if that remains to be our focus or remains to be our purpose, we may well miss the majority of what God actually has. We may miss the fullness that God has for you. Milk and honey are a very good thing. And when God called Abraham out all the way back in Genesis 12, he said, "Listen, Abraham, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing." And we come running forward and we want the blessing. But we can so fixate on some of the physical things that we'll miss the spiritual things that God has. And I'll explain that in a moment. If we can highlight any one thing, it's this, that God says to Moses, he says in verse 6, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." What does that mean? God was leading them out, and the land that he was taking them to, that was filled with milk and honey, that was a physical destination, and that is a picture that we'll take and we'll see all the way through this book that we have, that God has preserved for us. And it is a wonderful picture. And yet, God's will, God's way was much more than a physical destination. God had in store for them a destiny. He wanted them to be something more than just a people in a land. He wanted to lead out a people through which he was going to make them, as we just read, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. What does that mean? Well, often we can look back at our scriptures, and if we fail to see what a priest and a holy nation was there and called to or called for, we miss it, like many who would see God calling a people Israel and simply having them maraud their way through the land, killing, slaughtering, murdering anyone who stood in their way, because they were God's people. And if you weren't with them, you should be dead before them. And so if we see that or think that, we've missed it, because in truth, God was calling them and leading them to be a kingdom of priests. What's a kingdom of priests? A priest was there, and as we'll read on in the book of Exodus, the role and the position of the priest was there to be a mediator between man and God. They were there to welcome the broken, the sinful, the hurting, and on their behalf offer sacrifice to God and make them acceptable and bring them before the forgiveness of God. That was the role of a priest. They were, in a sense, professional worshipers who brought people before the Lord and united them in acceptance before the forgiveness of this holy Lord. And can you imagine what an incredible calling? God has brought them out, once slaves to Egypt, now to be called a kingdom of priests. They were to be a people set apart for God to lead others into a relationship with God, just as they had come to learn that they were related to this wonderful king. And how do we see that? Throughout the scriptures, when you read on and see that it wasn't just judging nations that they were there for, it was their testimony of what God was doing in them and through them that was leading others to them. It was Rahab the harlot who heard, as we've spoken before, who heard the testimony of what God did and bowed her heart and her knee and was welcomed in, as opposed to all those who stood and fight. It was those who, when God sent Jonah, the reluctant prophet, to Nineveh, even the Ninevites, and said, "Repent or I'll overthrow you." God was using his prophets and his people not as a tool simply of judgment, but in God's hope, even more so, as a kingdom of priests in order to draw a watching world to his feet, to worship him just as they were worshiping. They were to see and to know. And I think often in life, as we come to the Lord and we begin to hear him speak, I think we can often treat the gospel like a fire extinguisher, right? It's about getting me out of hell and into heaven. And sometimes the church today can err on the side of trying to scare people into heaven, scare people into the purpose to which you are called is the destination of heaven bound. And yes, we want to be there with him, and one day we will be. But if we aren't consistently and constantly realigning our purpose today with him, to know him and what he's doing and what he has for us, we may miss the fullness of the blessing. If we get fixated on the pastries and miss the fellowship, if we get fixated on the milk and honey, the fruit of the land and the food, and yet we miss our purpose, which is, oh, it's not just about milk and honey and a land to live in. It's about a kingdom of priests to worship in and lead others through. I may miss the reality and the fullness of the blessing that God has. First Peter puts it this way, and I love how he writes in 1 Peter 2 and verse 4. It says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." He goes on, and in verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2, it says this: "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." What a great word from Peter. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who's called you out of darkness and into this marvelous light. Today, if we've adjoined ourselves to the Lord for any reason, that is to get to heaven, for milk and honey, for blessing, we may have come and started our journey, maybe with a motive. Maybe there was a hope for healing. But as we continue on the journey, if we continue to hear the Lord's voice, we're going to be challenged that though I may have begun in one place and that place was right and I'm going to find those things, there's more, and I need to continually be realigning myself with that purpose. And so whatever started, now God, as he speaks, is making it very clear, you're here to proclaim the excellencies of the one who called you. I've brought you out of darkness into light, not just to free you as slaves, not just to heal you, but to also have you proclaim the excellencies as a priest before a watching world. And And if I fail, and this is something that God's been striking me this week, if I fail to continually be realigning my purpose and my priorities, I begin to be disillusioned on the journey, or I begin to be disgruntled on the journey, right? If Moses had promised me a land flowing with milk and honey, and that's my expectation, now I get out to the desert, and all I get is bitter water, manna that tastes the same every day, and there's no meat. And now, all of a sudden, what I was promised isn't what I found, and I start to get disillusioned with God. Why did you even bring me here? Right? What was the reason I left? In the first place, this isn't why I came. And I think sometimes I focus and I hone in on what I thought I was going to see. And you know what? That's the challenge of the scriptures. Let me just open Hebrews chapter 11. And this came just thundering down on me this week in a number of ways. Hebrews 11, and many people call this the great hall of faith, right? And we hear about all these many who did such amazing things by faith in an amazing God. It says this about Moses himself. It says in Hebrews 11 and verse 27, listen to this. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. It goes on and tells us of many things. And listen to verse 32. What more shall I say, for time will fail me, if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword from weakness, were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, others were tortured, not accepting their release. Let's stop there. Women received back their dead by resurrection. And you read that and you think, yes, that's what I came for. I came to have power, to have resurrection. I came for life. I came for health. I came for victory over enemies. This is why I'm here. This is where faith led me on the journey. But if we stop there, and here's this resounding summary of these great hallmarks of faith that people experienced. But listen to the next few verses in Hebrews 11. And notice there's no distinction between the victorious in faith and all that we've just read, raising the dead and seeing enemies shattered. And now this, it says this, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings. Yes, also chains and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death. With the sword, they went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, and all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us they would be made, so that they would not be made perfect. I don't know if you caught that, but as you read Hebrews 11, I read that first list and I'm like, yes, right? Abraham came, and it was like God said, Abraham, I want to take you to a land, and I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. And I love the blessings. And I'm like, God, victory over enemies, raising the dead, healing the sick, fixing the lame. Like, I'm in, Lord. And all of this was received by faith. And yet, equally in faith, here's the list. And some sawn in two, and some ridiculed and persecuted, and some martyred, and some destitute, ill-treated, wandering in deserts. And I think when I fixate on what I think I came for, right, I can miss, and I can become disillusioned when I come for victory and I find scourging and insult, right? I come for fullness and I find the destitute or the wandering in the wastes. And if I become disillusioned, it's because I failed to realign myself with the purpose. Yes, God has good in store, but I want you to notice what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 40. God had provided something better for us. There was something better than just the physical blessings of a land of milk and honey, of some of these things. God was working in far deeper ways. And I'm finding that often my hope rests, my motivation rests on the things that I see that are around me, when I need to realign myself with the reality that God's purpose, true purpose, will be fulfilled in things that are unseen in the depths. And that's where I'll find and discover even better things. And so as a church today, if we come only for the superficial or the things that we think or see that are overt, we may have failed to realign ourselves with the fullness and the purpose. And this can happen in so many areas and arenas in our life. And, you know, as Paul writes, I'm reminded of this. I came to the Lord and I expected victory. What did Paul write? I mean, there was a thorn in my flesh, and I prayed three times that it might be removed. And yet, what did God say? No, I've left it there to humble you for what? My grace is sufficient, and my power is perfected in weakness. Paul had to realign himself in that moment to what? I came to the Lord, and I was expecting moral perfection. And what did I find? Oh, okay, I had to realign myself here. Though I long for moral perfection, no, on the journey, here's what I found. God actually was willing to allow me to suffer some weakness so that what? His greater purpose, I might understand in a fuller way that his power is perfected in my weakness, and his purpose that I might know that his grace is sufficient. And all of a sudden I have to realign myself on the journey, knowing this is what God has. I was longing for this. Here's how it's shown itself in this, right? And I think how many times in life we make decisions, we're motivated, we go on the premise of one thing, we get there and we find another, right? Talking to someone a young friend of ours who is going through university, I went to the program, I needed these grades, and I didn't get them. And here's what I had gone for, A, B, C, D, a career, I had gone for an education, I had gone for stability in my future, I had gone there for, and here's what I've left with, I'm lost. And the amazing part of the conversation was that they had failed in a course and they didn't make what they were going for, and it actually turned them around and they were able to take a different path and they were actually going to get where they were going even quicker, right? And so they had gone for this reason, found something else on the journey. I think we go to work and our life may be, I'm going, my purpose, I have a job, I'm going to make an income, I'm going to find stability, I'm going to find, you know, all of these things. We get there, we don't always find those things. I'm going to do all these things, here's my purpose, I'm aiming for retirement, and when I get there, it's going to be easy, and I'll have no worries, and I'll rest all my days, and I'll be able to wear golf pants up over my belly button and just golf every day, and buy a motorhome and just drive around, and you know, here's where I'm going. I get there. My savings or my pension, talking with another friend of mine, just tanked by 40%. And now retirement isn't what I thought it was. It wasn't when I got there, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I entered a relationship, and so many, not only in my experience, I went in, here's what I was thinking. There's going to be a wholeness, and this person is going to complete me, and there's going to be intimacy, and there's going to be there's going to be unity, and then you get into a relationship, a friendship, a companionship, and what do you find? There's brokenness. You've attached yourself to someone who's not whole, but even more broken than you are, and now it's not what you expected, right? That's not what I had signed up for, or where I was going, or why I was coming there. And yet now you find yourself, here's where I am. And now, if you haven't aligned yourself with the purpose of God, you become disillusioned because you came for milk and honey, you came for the blessings, and now it, when they don't show up in the way you thought they would, you become to think, have I missed something? Well, no, in the midst of it all, in the midst of the journey, in the midst of the hunger, in the midst of the thirst, in the midst of the manna and the quail, in the midst of the fire on the mountain, in the midst of the land that God was taking them, they would need to realign themselves and understand that through it all, whether in health or sickness, whether in wealth or poverty, whether in ease of days or difficult days, God had a greater purpose, something even better in store, and that better was this. He was leading them to be a kingdom of priests, a group of people that would lead others into worship of God. He was going to use them as a holy nation. Paul puts it this way, verses we've read so often together, in 2 Corinthians 5. He died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. He goes on and says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And if there's something that, you know, I would hope that we as a church body, both personally and corporately, could grab hold of today, it would be the real and the reality of asking the hard question, today, are we aligned with his purpose? Or are we consumed with what we thought or we think we're going to get when we get there, wherever there is, right? As a church, it's a reminder to me, and one of the things I've been working on for you all. We met together as a board and are discussing, you know, what is church going to look like as we move forward as Gabriola Fellowship Church, and I'm just working on how to put that into communication with some scriptures and grounding, so that as we put that forward to all of you, we can all be on the same page. And I hope this week I'll be able to have that for you. But I think something that we can idolize or prioritize is when we begin to worship the form over our foundation, right? And we all may have different longings, but if we think that God is found in a certain denomination, in a certain tempo of music, in a certain type of service. If God is found in a certain atmosphere, you bring the music up and then you bring it down, and then you bring it up and then you bring it down, right? God is found in a certain lighting. If we think that God is found in a certain atmosphere that we create, we've begun to miss it because sneakily, we've begun to slowly worship the form of our worship rather than the one we're worshiping, right? We've begun to, this is what I'm here for, right? And so often I hear, and I've also felt it. Yeah, you know what? That's a great church, but I just don't feel worship the way they sing. And you know what? It's a great church, but I just don't see that the kids are, my kids are ministered to the way I think they should be met and ministered to. You know, that church is good, but, and I think how often we come to the Lord and we're seeking and thinking or trying to find something, or we're expecting some way, shape, or form for that to be seen, rather than the foundation and the substance that is there. And I think that's what's key, especially moving forward as a church together, is that if we move forward simply expecting in the days ahead that blessing will be found by, you know, we're all going to be able to meet together again, and it's going to look like this, and it's going to go this way, and it's going to be that way, and it's going to do this. No, here's the foundation. We need to align ourselves with the purpose of God. And what's the purpose of God? As worshipers, being called as priests to lead others into a worship of Him. Priests standing before a watching world, welcoming them in sacrifice to forgiveness and wholeness that's found in God and God alone. And I think today, we can ask the difficult questions. What are we coming to church for? What have you come to this meeting for? Is it blessing? Is it wholeness? What is it? Because whatever brought us here, was it just to get out of hell and get into heaven? Was it to escape persecution? What brought us here? Well, whatever brought us here, now that we're here, now that the people are standing before God, there's a realigning as God begins to say, hey, welcome to the mountain. And yes, I want to bless you. But part of being a blessing is not just going to be milk and honey, not going to be a land with walls of security. Part of the blessing is going to be being a nation, a kingdom of priests, leading people to worshiping me. And that kingdom of priests will not only involve milk and honey, it can also involve suffering and taking you out of your comfort zone. And it can also involve taking you to difficult places and fighting difficult battles. But if you're not aligned with my purpose, you may miss it. Again, if you come and all you're fixated on is the pastries, right? And imagine if I had done that day, and my wife, she's far better than I. If we had gone in, and here we are, here's your pork fat, give us the pastries. Here's the pork, give us the pastries. And now you question, oh yeah, well, tell us more about your farm. I'm just here for the pastries. We would have missed the fellowship, the deepness, the fullness that God had for us in that moment. And if we go on in life fixated on the things we want or think we need or the places we think we're going, we may miss. And that's as a church, as a congregation, that's spiritual, it's physical. It's in our relationships, right? If I think my wife is only there to fulfill me, to complete me, to serve me, I haven't realigned my purpose. And the relationship is not just about me being completed. It's also about me completing her, about the relationship I may have. And we often joke, right? I tell people, and it's not a joke, but saying, in truthful, we often are led into a relationship because of infatuation, right? We say the words, I love you, but that love often is an infatuation with the idea of love. But you get into a relationship and realize that true love is actually what? Sacrifice, laying down your life, serving someone else, not being served. That's love. And so in that time, you learn to love. But in that relationship, you begin to realize there's a realigning and say, wow, this is what I'm here for. But if you continue on in a relationship thinking it's about what I have to get and what I need and what I want to do and where I want to go, we can miss the fullness or the better that God has for us when we allowed Him to use us and build us. And so when I am realigned with God's purpose in my marriage, it's less about me now, my needs, my land of milk and honey, and more about seeing my family, my wife, all of the things that God has blessed me with built up. In my job, it's less about me making money, me being sustained, me being secure, and more about, God, why do you have me in this job? Oh, as a priest. And maybe I'm there to lead others to Him. Maybe I've been put there, though I came for the money, right? Some of you know I've got a few side gigs on the go. Mailboxes, which I even was able to bless Gabriola with a few new mailboxes. I may have shown up for the money. What did I leave with? A job where I'm able to go and work alongside some of the broken and all kinds of people and go from Sayward to Shemanis, traveling around meeting people. Like, incredible. I came for the job, left with blessing. I came for retirement, wearing golf pants above my belly button, doing nothing all day, wandering around town. What did I leave with? Wow, more freedom and time to invest in people than I've ever had before. What did I leave with? A season of life that was even more fruitful and fulfilling than the one I left behind. As we enter each and every segment of our life, have we aligned ourselves with the purpose of God? And this is what we're going to see as we continue on in Exodus, is when they begin to realize that they're being called into a new kingdom and they're leaving a value system, a structure, a purpose that once was. Every day they got up, they served the Egyptians, they ate their food, they went to bed. They suffered. Let's escape flogging today. Here's their purpose in life. Let's save our children today as Pharaoh's throwing them in the river. Here's purpose. Saving ourselves, feeding ourselves, surviving for ourselves. Now they're entering a new place and there's a realigning. God saying, hey, new purpose. New purpose. The old has passed away. New things have come. Here's where we're going. And this, as we start to read these 10 statements or commandments of the Lord, God is beginning to show them the depth of this new aligning of purpose in their lives. And so perhaps today I can put the question to you guys and it can lead to some thoughts, some sharing, some testimony, and whether it's in regards to what we see God doing in our own lives, or prayers for what we see we want God do in our lives and those around us. One, what are some of the areas in which I started the journey and I had a purpose and began to realize that God's greater purpose was far more than I thought or even could ask or imagine? I came for the pastries, left with fellowship. Came for forgiveness, left realizing that there could be transformation. Came for a land of milk and honey, leaving realizing, wow, there's blessing beyond measure that's more than the physical world has to offer. The second thing is, where is there prayer today where perhaps I'm failing to align myself with the purpose of God? I'm still fixated on milk and honey and a land and victory and war, and I've failed to see that God's purpose, being a minister and a priest of God, leading others into his sanctuary, into his forgiveness, into sacrifice, and I'm failing to take the next step to say, Lord, have your way within me and allow me to see you at work in this area, in my marriage to be broken and allow my purpose to be giving, not taking, right? Giving, not receiving, giving, not, and in all of those things. And I think in my relationships, in friendships, in my workplace, where am I still aligning myself with the old purpose of what drove me or has driven me and failing to grab hold of what God has for me, or perhaps I might be missing in the midst of it? I don't know if that spurs any thoughts or conversation in your heart with God, but I'd hope that, as always, as I share with you, it's only a springboard for what God is sharing with you, and perhaps some time in which we can share in some testimony, some prayer, and we can encourage one another at those times in which we become disillusioned, perhaps because the road, the journey, isn't meeting our expectations, and it's because our expectations were met on our purpose for going and not. And perhaps today we need to continually be putting those things before the Lord and realigning ourselves with the Lord's life and his love and his purpose for us today and where he's taking us. Like Hebrews 11, not just because of the victories in faith, but also through the hardships that faith bring us, through which we are going to see God's incredible blessing. In fact, even better things happen.